Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Smug, Alan. Pretty smug. How about yourself, mate?
Yeah, pretty good. Doing all right. I mean, we had a goal, and we hit the goal.
Yeah.
So that's not, like, that's pretty good. We're pretty good.
Yeah. And we just, like, I think we had, you know, I just know for sure we had some silent doubters out there. Like, people be out there thinking, oh, these dickheads think they can game the system. If it was that easy, everyone would do it. And no, it is that fucking easy, and no one's doing it. And we did it. We did it.
100%. And it's not like us to get around ourselves. So, like, this is, like, you can take this to the back. You know what I mean?
This is humble.
You think we're going to see a lot more tournaments like that pop up, even if it's just for Aussie Disc Golf Day 2026?
I think people are going to have a go. Obviously, I'm in the MPO chat, and people want a piece. And I put out there on socials, obviously Melbourne. See, like, a lot of people who are watching from afar think David Perry just, like, threw the round of his life. But the reality is he just threw David Perry like golf, and we gamed the system. And so I put out on socials who deserves the recognition, and rightfully so. The listeners have hit me up, and they're like, yeah, well done, boys. Which one did I like the most? DP was just a pawn in your game of chess. was my favorite coming in from Johnny Martin, and Bainey just let us know with a wink as well, and he said, we all know who deserves it, actually.
I love it. That's good. I mean, good on Dave, but really good on us.
Yeah, exactly. thanks for playing along, Dave. Yeah. And really good on us for figuring it out. Exactly. Now, and you were asking me, how did we get onto this? Like, where did this come from? And it came from a couple of different ways. And I got thinking again after our little chat. And I think I remember more clearly now where this came from.
Okay, please enlighten me, because my memory is trash.
We were having chats around, like, the zero rating system. Mm-hmm. And then we started having events where the AMs were split from the pros. And then I started to do all the maths around, like, what's actually going on here. And we started to find a couple of events where the AMs essentially were, like, donating their rating points to pros. And that shook out mostly on, like, really difficult courses like Invalid. And then when you separated them, it was kind of like no rhyme or reason, because it was just like the pool size was too narrow, not enough standard deviation. And so sometimes it was great for the pros and sometimes it was elite for the AMs, and it kind of seemed to be a bit of a coin flip. And I feel like that's where the conversation came from. And I was like, what we really need to do is we need a course that's, like, super, super scorable, but it just smashed the AMs potentially. And then we might just get an 1100 rated disc golf round.
There you go. Yeah. Well, bang. And we almost got it. If you had done that in round one, fucking hell, we would have got it. But
yeah, so this is what we have to wait for. Who else hit me up? Nathan from Queensland, TD Extraordinaire, hit me up. And he's like, oh, what do you think's going to happen come ratings update day? Like, how will it even out? He's like, don't they, for, like, small events like that, sometimes put all of the rounds together and treat it like one big round? I'm like, well, if they do that, you might hit 1090.
Yeah, I know, right?
Because it was 1100 in the morning, and I think he had it backwards. He thought he, like, got the really boosted round in the boosted in the morning. I was like, no, he did that in the afternoon when the ratings were down by 4 or 5 shots.
Nah, the ratings were way higher round one.
Yeah.
I don't know. So what happened with Llewellyn? This will be the indicator, I think. Because remember, Llewellyn round one was really high ratings, and then round two, 3 strokes difference, right? Ish, 4 strokes maybe. And then they brought it all down to round two. That's my concern.
Yep.
It still won't affect, it shouldn't affect the 1087. Like, that could only get better, I think.
Yeah. That's the way I'm thinking about it too. Yeah.
But it might just bring the other ones down, which, Yeah, which would be sad. But, yeah, the 1087 should stand until next year.
Yeah, sick.
That's how I read it anyway. But I did, when you submit the event report, you can give them little notes and stuff like that. And I made it clear that the wind was really crazy in round one compared to round two.
Yeah.
So hopefully they sort of keep it as is.
Yeah.
Was my thought. But, yeah, I can't imagine the round that rated worse for everyone, like not for Dave, but he shot way, way better. But round two, I can't imagine those scores going down.
Surely not.
Surely not. So we'll see. But what a fun day, I think. So we may as well get right into the non-invitational two. We got a fair bit of feedback on the day, and it was pretty positive all around. Like I didn't run into anyone who was down on it. I think everyone was just like, it was just a really different way to play disc golf. It was a really different sort of thought process on anything. And I think, from what people said, everyone seemed to have like a lot of fun. And one thing I noticed, it was like, so a hole, I don't know, any hole, but like some of the harder holes, like hole 12 and, normal 17, like I'm not making that island. And it's like, sure, four. Everyone's taking a four. Like that means nothing. Yep. But like you make an island on like hole six or something, and you're like, I'm the man. Like this is so good. Like making any shot that you normally made was like huge. And it got to the point where missing islands was like, oh, well, doesn't matter. And which is pretty crazy. Like that the highs were so high and the lows were so mediocre. Like that's.
Yeah, this is coming from someone who played the fucking round of his days and obviously got up and down for a lot of fours, and well done to you, Mr. What did you shoot in the end? 980 and 965. But that wasn't how it went for everyone else.
Okay. Well,
so if you missed it, like if you were Chris Ronalds in round two, for example, and what would happen is you would miss an island and then you'd be like, don't think I can get the island from where I am. So this is going to get real fucking big, real fucking quick. And then sure enough, you wouldn't get to the island. And so now you're still off the island and you're shooting five. And you're like, well, can't hit it from here. So best I can hope for is a six. And then you walk away with about 16 sixes in round two. And it feels pretty brutal. But
okay.
in round one, I did comment, like, how good did a bogey feel? Sometimes a bogey just felt good, but especially on those holes where, like you said, on 17, for example, where you're like, well, I'm never going to, like, best case scenario is a bogey. Like, I'm never going to make this island.
Mm.
And so then you would get that bogey and fucking feel good. Yeah.
Yeah. It was definitely a different experience. So, yeah, hopefully there wasn't too many negatives like that. But, yeah, there was huge numbers. Like, there's very few people that didn't take huge numbers. I think, I took a seven. I think that might have been my biggest. But yeah, that is kind of light on for in terms of most people's biggest number. but everyone was taking doubles and triples, but you just, I don't know, you moved up.
You did. I've got some stats here. So two holes averaged under par.
Oh, yeah. They're probably the only ones I didn't birdie. What were they?
Well, if you had to guess, it's pretty obvious.
Hole,
what would
hole
they
one
be?
And hole 11.
Correct.
Yeah. I got a bogey round one on hole one and a OB par on round one. On hole one, round two. I think I got hole 10 day on round two, but I missed it round one. I was like, how? What are you doing, man?
Then seven holes. Averaged within a stroke of par. Seven holes averaged within a stroke of par, so not outrageous. And then the next 11 holes averaged between one and two strokes above par. And none reached exactly two strokes above par, and none above.
Okay, yeah,
which
that's too bad.
Surprised me a little bit. Which hole? Which? Come on, name the. So you've named the two easiest holes. Well done. Now name the two hardest holes.
Two hardest holes got to be two par fours. I think the one attacking the practice basket would be very hard. So I would say the long version, though, because the short one you can just blast past that first island and have an easy four. So whatever that was, 10?
10, awesome. Now, what was the worst score I took on 10 for the day?
3?
Correct. I somehow the hardest hole on the track, I only birdied for the day. So that is very my impressive. only saving grace.
They were just,
as you would draw it up, just straight to the middle of that landing zone, and then what's that disc that you got me throwing? A trail. And then a trail down to the basket.
I didn't know you were throwing trails.
Well, I got to that hole, obviously never playing the course in my life, and looked at my bag and went, what the hell will go this straight for that long? I don't know if I carry one. And then I saw the trail out of the corner of my eye, and I'm like, I'm just going to fucking rip this and see what happens.
Sick.
And I basically hit the pole. And so then round two, I got to the exact same landing zone and was like, I guess I'll rip this and see what happens. I didn't have to hit bigger than a 2 meter putt on that hole.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very impressive. No one else did that, I'm 100% certain. And then the other hardest hole would be the other par fours on that side. I think hole 15, the long version.
That was the third hardest hole.
Oh, five played harder.
Five played harder.
That's crazy. I played it way harder, I can tell you that, because I birdied 15 and took a bogey, I think, in round two, which I was super chuffed with. Like, made that island both times, the first island both times.
So good.
And the other one, I couldn't land on it. I don't know why, but I just couldn't fucking land on it. The first time I shorted it, like the forehand, I went too skinny. And then, so I way overcompensated in round two and I went to straight and left. So I took big, but I for sure thought that would play easier.
Well, even though 15 saw a 13 on it on the day, some unlucky person took a 13, and which was easily the worst score of the day. It didn't average harder than hole 5, which the worst anyone managed on 5 was an 11. But still, it shook out harder than 15.
That's great. Did it get birdied? It would have, surely.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was not a hole that didn't get birdied, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, wow. All right, nice. Yeah, see, it's Bald Hill. Easy.
Yeah. And that's why we thought it could happen. Yeah. Every hole got birdied, which is pretty cool as well.
Nice. Anything else stand out with you with the hole stats?
With the hole stats, no, just that it surprised me a little bit. So 20 was pretty hard. The other one going into the practice basket. But, yeah, you kind of identified that people could take pars with forgetting the first island. But, surprised me that 13 played harder than that and so did 12. But then I kind of had those numbers back wrong in my head in hindsight. So 13 is actually...
13's hole 12 in
exactly almost,
which it's really far away.
Yeah. But still 12 played harder than it as well, but into that headwind 12 was really hard.
Fair enough. Yeah. Hole 20, I'm so mad. So like I kept telling people, I was like, the only thing you can do to make a mistake on hole 20 is be short of the island. Like, if you gotta miss it long. So I actually ripped my trail out, my flippy one. It threw it on hyzer into a bit of a headwind round one. And I went long in the island by like a meter, but easy up and down 4. And I was like, God, that's just such the play. And then in round two, the wind had died down. And I was like, you know what? My forehand's been good today. I'll birdie this bitch. Right after telling Tommy Jankar that the play is go for the path and hope you land short of it. And I threw the most disgusting forehand. It was so horrible, so left. And then, of course, I couldn't make the next island. So it took a big number, and Tommy took a OB4.
So on that hole, I went short of the island by about 40 and right of it by about 15 both rounds. So what? Are you saying that maybe I had my approach wrong there?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that was pretty fucked. Especially when I rocked up to it round two and I took like a million round one on that hole and I was like, right, just don't do that, dickhead. And then I think I left it 50 short of that island somehow and just had like fucking nowhere to go. And so then threw it into the car park on my third, right? Because like that was my best approach. And then, I don't know, took a million or whatever.
That's incredible. Was that your worst hole of the day?
Yeah, I try to bring up hole scores before. Surely it would have been. You know, you said your worst you managed was a seven. I think I actually did, I got away with sixes as my worst. I never did worse than a six.
There you go.
I just got a fucking bunch of them. So I got four sixes in round two. Three in round one. So no, never did worse than a six. So fucking look at me go.
Look at you go. Yeah, I took a seven on 15.
I took round two. I got five birdies both rounds. So that's a lie. What am I looking at? No, I did. I took a seven. I was looking at the wrong guy. I did take a seven in round one. But I got five birdies both rounds, and in round two, I only managed one par. I got four pars for the day.
That's good. I wasn't much ahead of you. I were 2, 4, 5 in round one and then 2 in round two. So 7 pars, but yeah. I did take quite a handful of birdies.
Well done.
It was hectic.
I mean, David Perry only got 4 pars in round two as well.
Yeah, pars were tough. Pars were harder than birdies.
It's just that he got a million fucking birdies.
Yeah. Exactly. it was wild. It was wild. We'll have a look at some of we didn't care too much about the divisions, but they did shake out nice because people played down into their actual spots. So we'll run through a couple of them. After a hot round one, Levi just shit the bed in round two. There's no other way to put it than that. So round one shoots plus 18 in the wind, 921 rated, way above his rating. And then in round two, five strokes worse in like 3 or 4 stroke better conditions. So just gave it away. And Max Tats, who shot 10 strokes better than Levi in round two, really nice score of plus 13, sneaks in by one. So he wins MA3, and he also took down top chump.
Best chump. Yes, he did.
Best chump. So it ended up coming down to those two, and then a fair gap, I think, after that. Or was MA40s? Tony.
11 strokes. Yeah. Well, Ash Reiner.
Tony was plus 46. He's a chump as well. So he was only 5 back of Levi. But yeah, it got pretty ugly pretty quick, to be honest.
Yeah, it did.
And then what do we got? Ross Davies very comfortably over Peter Fletcher in MA4. MA2, I don't know. I'm disappointed with everyone else.
Okay.
This is what I'm going to say. I did not play particularly great. I said to myself, if I can keep it under plus 10 both rounds, like I'll be playing okay. But like that's playing at my rating or a little bit above it. It's crazy that I won by so much. I didn't play 970 golf. Obviously that's just the ratings thing, but keep that
on the download. Cause I'm expecting a cease and desist from PDJ here if I'm not careful.
Nah, fuck them. but like everyone knows like, the ratings were, if you played decent, you got sick ratings, yeah. But it's crazy. I don't understand how. And this, I'm going to sound like a dick here, but I don't understand how everyone was shooting. Like everyone, all these guys are like plus 15, 16 per round.
Like, I hate to be one of those
guys. I know,
guys.
But I don't get it. I don't.
Try shooting plus 17.
No,
wow.
I just don't get it. And like, it's not, I mean, my whole tournament was between this whole, what did I say? Six and, or between hole 5 and 9. Basically, like that middle stretch of like quite gettable, holes. And I went three birdies on the round, so, seven birdies and like a bogey in that stretch. That's it. The whole rest of it was just like a couple birdies here and there and bogeys. Like, it's fuck Bald Hill. Like, am I crazy or what?
No, you're not crazy. I obviously went in, particularly round two. Obviously going into day, I knew I hadn't played Bald Hill in forever. So I was like, I don't know what my discs are. I don't know what I'm going to do, rah, rah. Like, and the little tweaks you made on, like, nine, for example, the shorter version of that, like, that took an island out that I might have known how to make.
Yeah.
I don't have the arm to make 2 or 11, three or 12 anymore. Yeah, anyway, I'm looking at my stats. I hit 12 out of 15 C1 in round two for my plus 17.
Fuck.
So, like, in that wind, I'm not mad at that. Like, that's fine putting 12 out of 15.
Yeah.
The stat that burns me, and like I said, on a few of these holes, I then also didn't get to the island on the next attempt, hence why I got sixes. But I only landed inbounds six times. and so that makes it tough.
What total? For the day, for the round?
For the round. Yeah. Six out of 20 fairway hits for the round. So 14 OBs off the tee. And of those six, five of them were par threes, and I hit all of those birdies. So, like, that's fine. But missing 14, not good enough.
Yeah.
So I'm 6 out of 20. What are you?
Round one, I was 6 out of 20.
All right. And round two?
I shot a plus 9. 10 out of 20.
Yeah, that's better, isn't it?
Round two, yeah, that is better.
Yeah, it's better.
I don't know. I had five OB pars. That helped. So I hit a couple big putts and made some good upshots. But, yeah, I don't know. I smoked them, and everyone else should be ashamed. That's how I see it. Plus 16 overall. Brett Zeeble next with a plus 23, and it just starts getting uglier and uglier and uglier. After that, all the way down to Kalen and then Timmy Ware with a plus 44 for Timmy Ware. I don't know what that was about.
Brutal.
I don't know what that was about. Like, yeah, round one did him in and he didn't back himself up in round two. So, I smoked him. Well done, me. And I took home most mid, which is fitting. I mean, if you want to be good at disc golf, you need to be better than me. And all those people are not better than me.
Yeah, hard to knock you off the King of the Hill in 2025 after that performance, I have to admit.
That's got to be good. Good. I'm trying to cement myself in there.
And you took down, are we just going to throw it to the fact you took down the virtual as well?
Yeah, I was going to go for it after, but we can mention it both times. The plan works. If I had played in MA1, it would have been nice having a win over Penn and Chris Scott, although I probably would have lost in a playoff to Joel, but anyway. But I would have got smoked by fucking Bruce Lee in the MA1 virtual tournament. So playing down in MA2 was smart. Got the W. Let's go.
Huge. That is cool.
Huge. What else we got? Taryn, Tony, and Zsolt went after it in MA40, and Taz got win number 20 under his belt there.
He certainly did.
And then MA1, your group, what was going on with them?
Got to play with a couple of these round two. Got to play with Penn in round one as well, which was nice. Penn struggled a little bit round one, and then I just like gave seven shots back to him just down the stretch, and all of a sudden we shot the same round, which felt really uncomfortable because I smoked him round one just for the same score. And then round two, he absolutely smashed me, and he got, what did he manage, 8 birdies in there and 8, which is pretty rough. He got at least an eight in round one as well.
Did,
I sent you a text that on 19, which is a par 3 out here, you'll find a double bogey. But if you was keeping stats, you would find that was a inbounds double bogey, which I'm hearing rumors that Aiden Howard may have also at some point had an inbounds double bogey as well.
He did, yeah. What hole was that? Like
7 or something.
Yeah. Normal 7, I think.
Yeah. Oofed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joel has like a Simon Lizotte style spin putt, and that just set up, that set up real well in the wind. And so he ended up taking home your the additional mini, and I and can 100% vouch for him. As soon as you called for shout out, who might have knocked this on the head? I was like, stood next to Joel, and I'm like, I think Joel doubled that just in that round. So I think you're good to give whatever that is to Joel. He hit so many circle two putts to save par. It was pretty sick.
Cool. That's sick. And is he, yeah. Is he here always now, or is this in town?
Yeah, lives here.
Oh, shit. That's not good for me.
Renton in Burwood. He's a MPO guy. I think he caught on to our little game that we were playing via either Narada or Ryan Deere, where everyone wanted to play down. He's only just stepped up to MPO, but I think he'll do a bit of, if it's a huge event, he might play a bit of MA1. But if it's a little local dinkar, he might play MPO, I think.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, Narada got me in a little group chat with him, trying to get him involved, and I sort of made that decision myself.
Yeah.
Narada was like, oh, he's real good. He's got to be at least MA1 or MPO. And then when I saw that he was eligible for MA1, I was like, let's just stick him in there.
Yeah.
And no complaints by him, so that was fine. I was good sport about it.
Yeah, definitely.
I've got to know what you mentioned Penn and his eights. So round one, hole 10, you've taken the birdie and Penn's taken an eight. What was the feel like after you've just taken five strokes on him?
Mind you, I think we started on six. So like that just put him to like plus four. And I think I was like even, or I'm maybe being one under or something. I don't know. His eight was pretty rough. He was he tried some shenanigans. He, you know how I talked about going short of the island and miles right.
Yeah.
He also tried that round one, which is a bold strategy, Cotton. So then he was forced to go like over the bollards, and like try to cut the corner into the green.
This is on 10.
He did it on 10, didn't he? No, yeah. All right. Let's rewind. He came up short. That's right. He came up short of the island because he's only got a noodle arm compared to me. then he blew it into the car park. He bounced off a tree or whatever, landed on the wrong side of the bollards. Then we tried to play it from where it lied and we corrected him. And he needed to come inside the bollards. Coming inside the bollards really fucked him. Like he wanted to play it from outside the bollards because he might have had a gap. Like, no, he wasn't like not actually thinking like this, but it would have been better for him. As soon as he came in and took his actual lie, he was like, I'm fucking screwed here. I can't get to the island. And sure enough, he couldn't. And so he's throwing a million. He's not on the island yet. And then you end up with an eight.
Sick.
And obviously I parked it for a three. It was pretty good. A five-shot swing. Like a five-shot swing is a pretty crazy thing.
It is. It's so nuts. When do you see that?
Yeah. Oh, every hole at our tournament.
I know, right? lots and lots and lots of green when I'm looking at the MPO. So even quite a good amount in round one. No one going under par though, which like it surprised me. Like I didn't know exactly what the scores were, but I did say that I was like, I think neg five is going to be really good, but double, like someone can go double digits. And like, that was going to be the weird, you know, difference maker. And then Mikey goes plus one, Dave goes plus two. And I was like, maybe I had fucking no idea what I was talking about. And then just a lot of like plus six, plus eight, 14, 20, 21, not so good. So didn't really know what we're in for, but then in round two, the cream rose to the top. Still only two guys going. There's only two under par scores for the whole day. Dave Perry with the neg 10 with three bogeys, and Mikey Hare with the neg six with a double and two singles. So just way ahead of anyone else. But Vil with a plus one, very close, and just a shitload of birdies, and the other boys cleaning up quite significantly as well. Just gaps. Like, gap, mind the gap is sort of what we're hoping we're going to happen. But I thought for sure we'd see more under par scores.
just noticing a couple other people kept stats, which I did not cotton on to the day. I've just spotted here young Aiden Howard, round one, 7 out of 15 from C1, round one. Yeah. So he's missed 8 C1 putts for his plus 8 there. He actually, hit the fairways on 11 holes.
Wow.
So he's missed an opportunity there. Not spotting many others that kept stats. I believe Ryan Hart, no, he didn't. Parrish did for sure. Parrish also missed a bunch of putts, 9 from 16 C1, and only 5 fairway hits on round one. Brutal.
Yeah, that's tough. He has not played Ball Hill very much, though, to be fair.
Yeah.
So, but still, 20 strokes difference between rounds is pretty insane. but well done him to bring it back.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dave Perry with Australia's highest ever rated round, a 1087 for a 1056 event, is going to be looking pretty tasty for him in the next ratings update.
Yes, it is.
He just doesn't have that many rounds in his rotation, you know?
Yeah.
But Mikey Head, like, stiff. If Dave hadn't showed up, we'd be talking about how Mikey absolutely gapped the field by 12 strokes here with a 1058 round in round two and a 1045 overall. So huge by him, and people are talking. Well, you know, what's going on with this King of the Hill?
I know, right?
I might have to have an update to that sometime soon. Ville, very good. He was who I tipped to be in second, and he came in third. He handled all those other chumps, but, still just underestimated Mikey Hare.
Yeah, we are. And we've already thrown to the fact that you took out the virtual event. Obviously, it's no surprise that David Perry took out the virtual event by some margin. And the person in second was indeed Mikey Hare. And then to round out the podium, none other than Ville. This little game that we've played here has absolutely swept the nation.
Zach James, who played very good in Western Sydney, finished with an average of 1,000.1 with a huge 1026 second round. And he was like, he hit me up. He's like, where's this website that's telling me all the stuff? I've got to figure out if I'm airing a grievance or not. I feel like if Ryan Johnson hadn't have pipped him by like an average of 0.2, then we'd have him very, very angry, Zach James.
Yeah.
But nah, he got smoked. He's shit. He should play better. That's all.
That's right.
All right, well, last little thing. So the non-invitational that's the hardest course in Australia, right?
Oh, by some margin.
By some margin, which is just
How many strokes? I think it played 3 strokes harder than Northwood Blacks. Something stupid.
Yeah, I think Dave and Macbeth shot the same round rating, and Macbeth went like 13 under at the course they were playing.
Yeah.
It was 3 strokes harder than whatever they were playing there.
And he threw like a collective 1,500 meters further. You can look at like total distance thrown, and it was like he'd thrown 1,500 meters further over the course of the round, but still only matched David Perry. But yeah, I sent you a text. Obviously, par round one came in at 1038/1039. Northwood Black this year played 1006 and 1016 for par. In round two, it was 1016 for par. So well over 1,000 rated for par both rounds, averaging 1022-ish for par, which is, pretty hard course apparently.
I can't wait to run it back. I think it's so good. We put out a little teaser map for Vic Park Yellows.
Yeah.
Did we get much
feedback? People will come. And this is the thing. Like, people think, like, well, not anyone that was there. Anyone that was there realizes that AMs didn't donate their points. Like, some AMs played shit and got smashed. Some AMs didn't and got an absolute ratings boost. Max Tats, for example. So, like, it wasn't as simple as people think. I shared you a stat. There were 17 people rated below 920 at the day. Half of them played above rating.
Mm-hmm.
So you're good to go. AMs will come. Pros will come. We will fill a 72 cap event. And I'm just going to say, as this grows, and obviously we continue to pull this out, and I'm just going to use we a lot here, but well done, Alan. Look out, eruption. It's in my sights. I think we can grow this. I think we can grow this to beyond eruption.
This be the tournament that people go to every year?
I think so. I actually think so. Look out.
Well, I don't know. We'll have to have an actual proper look at this instead of just a bit of a Google, because I would love to run it back at Bald Hill, because I think that was as fun. I'd like to do that again. But I would like to play it at Ballarat too. So
maybe I think Ballarat, Ballarat Rallos would slap. I'm going there Saturday. I'm genuinely going there Saturday. I'm going to score it up. But, yeah, Ballarat Yellows, it's just too nice. It's like they're so gettable, those yellows. Like, what did I do there that time where – I think I got like a 14 down there one day, didn't I? When they changed the pars.
Could be.
Like, it's just like Bald Hill.
Yeah.
Except we can fit twice as many players.
That's wild. Yeah, well, maybe we'll have to run two events. We can do the Ballarats at some stage and then save the Bald Hill one for Oz this day again or something. But it was keen. It'll definitely be back. That's not the last you'll be seeing of the Crazy Hazard setup.
Your mate Keefe, obviously we know Keefe loves a good game. He was on it straight away. Did you see that on socials?
No.
All right. So
no, I don't have anyone on social.
So I don't have Keefe, but where am we? Put up the post, obviously celebrating everyone. And Keefe straight away just like tagged a bunch of people and was like, Aussie Disc Golf Day in Melbourne next year could be the move. Looks like my kind of tournament. And then he just tagged like eight people saying, and this had nothing to do with Ballarat. This was just the Bald Hill thing.
Yeah, yeah, wow.
Just seeing the fact that we gave out trash cans, shout out to Picanti, and had a good time. He was just like, yeah, this is where I want to do Aussie Disc Golf Day.
Yeah, sick. I love it. That's good.
Yeah.
I did forget to mention that. Thanks to Picanti for those little trash bins. They were pretty funny. I enjoyed them.
Definitely.
All right, we'll have a look. We'll check in on the virtual thing and then we'll have a look at what was going on at the other tourneys around, because we had plenty of Melburnians playing. But as you mentioned, in MPO, we took the clean sweep. Perry, Hare, Velotta, top three. No one gives a shit after that for the MPOs. In MP40, we had Youngblood take that one out. Ryan Johnson is second, and then Rubes and Dazza third and fourth. So good representation there. Bruce Lee with a monster round one. That was sketch two, though. They did some shenanigans as well. They played a 13 hole course in round one.
There you go, shenanigans.
Yeah, which is that's a way to get yourself the crazy ratings, because each stroke is worth like a billion.
Yeah,
ratings points. So. Well done to them, game that system, and a 9.97 average got Bruce Lee the win over Joel Way, and then Chris Scott somehow ended up in fourth with like 600 over, which is wild.
Yeah, that's a bit chalked that up for another few in the top four, and you even find Penn, who had a real stinker, top 10 as well, just through paying our event. He top 10 twice. God, he stunk it up at Stony Creek. I'll have to remember that for my nightlight.
I like it.
Yeah.
Anita Weber is second in the women's amateur one. So very nice there, Anita.
And from all accounts, absolutely slinging at the moment at Ruffy.
Fuck yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Al Don, controversially, which we'll get to when we get to the tournament, ooh, but controversially.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Takes out the top spot in MA40. Taryn, at the same event, who came in fourth, beat Al Don in a playoff.
Yes, I love this.
this I would love have been this. By virtue of when they got their ratings. So
yes.
Round two must have rated a little better than round one. And Aldon gets the overall win, but no chocolates on the day. Taran finds himself in fourth and then again down in 13th, I think. So a couple good spots for him. And we didn't have any in the WA 40. That was taken out by Sarah O'Shaughnessy. What else we got? MA 50. Doug Adams very close to the Ruffy Lake Ripple in second place behind Josh Conroy, who won it, and Mike Vanderlinden in third place. So Victoria's just killing it.
Yeah, we're looking pretty good.
Looking super good. Women's Amateur 50. We had Janet Ford Adams take out third place, being at the Ruffy Lake Ripple. So well done, Janet.
And nice to see her pip Tanya as well, the exile. I'm sure if Tanya was playing in Victoria, she might have done better. Bad luck, Tanya.
Bad luck indeed. Fourth and fifth. So just, yep. That's no good. I took out MA2, as we mentioned. Brett Zeeble in third, Narada in fourth. So Throla's doing plenty of work for the MA2 division.
Like Tommy Jankar in 7,
yeah.
Kaelin in 8th, and Juan in 9th. We've just taken out essentially the entire top 10 there.
Yeah. MA2 did really well. Like MA2 was probably the best division in terms of ratings for non-invitational. That was the sweet spot, apparently. So that worked out well. In nothing for the Women's Amateur 2, the MA3 was our best performance was Carlton Clerk. He got himself into third place. Glenn Ralston just behind him. So Stony Creek putting up numbers there for the MA3 boys. Nothing in the Women's Amateur 3, but in MA4, your mate smoked him.
Smoked him.
Yeah, so Patrick Eldridge at Stony Creek with a 9.12 average, just way out in front there. So well done there, Pat. David Wood in fifth, so not too bad as well.
Yep.
What else we got? We're getting towards the end of this. Women's Amateur 4, not much going on. I don't think so. No.
Dolly there in ninth. Thanks for coming. Junior Marcus got done. He didn't have a great day at the non-invitational, and then couldn't get his straps going at Ruffy by the looks of things, finishing with, a solid 8.88, but yeah. That's not getting it done over Reed Taylor, who just had a day out. 804 rated disc golfer with a 930 event.
Insane.
Yeah.
I want to know what shenanigans they were putting up.
Yeah.
Or is this kid just gotten real good? Because Marky put in two events well above rating and smoked. So very, very interesting. I wonder if this kid's coming to Eruption. That'd be good to see. I wonder if Marky's gone. I haven't looked at that, but that could be a good little battle.
Yep.
And Charlotte Davies takes out the FJ15 pretty handily, which is nice, over Ava Irison. So well done, Davies clan. There
you go.
All right, we'll check in on whichever one comes up first, I think. Stony or Ruffy, which I've just found Ruffy.
I know, I've got Stony up. If you want to run through Ruffy, I'll run through Stony.
Perfect. So 33 players came out to Ruffy on the Sunday. And there's a lot of one-player divisions, but Rube Berg went whack. So 18 down is doing plenty. Oscar Fellberg with a 13 down for MA1 did a fair bit as well. Anita Weber was very strong. So 6-stroke win over Emma Winkworth. And as you mentioned, Oscar had told us that she is just slinging them at the moment. So that is really good to see, just throwing bullets. Taran Anderson, as mentioned, take the playoff W over Al Don for his 21st win. So he got two wins under the belt on the weekend. Well done there, Taz. Doug Adams smoked the field. Eight strokes better than Anthony Pearsall. Was Doug TD? Yeah, he was. So the TD curse. What TD curse? You know what I mean?
I know, right?
Doug smoked it. Janet, as we mentioned, had a very nice tournament, getting herself way up there. Wayne Hood, the only person in MA3 to go under par, so neg two for him. Big first round and dropped off, but didn't matter. Had him covered. Hamish Clarkson with a huge score. MA4, this is why it's too hard to win MA4. He takes a neg seven, which would have done numbers in most all divisions, and wins MA4 by 11 strokes. So
boom.
I don't know who Hamish Clarkson is, but he's very good, apparently, because, yeah, 11 strokes of Alistair Morley and Ross Davies. We're looking at roughly a 900 event. That's not MA4 shenanigans.
It is. Yeah, we've gone 1-2 in the virtual in Melbourne here with Stoney and Ruffy and mind the gap to the poor Ricky in third with an 8.85. Yeah, 900 MA4 golf is stinging.
That is stinging for sure. Markey gets it done over Oliver Morley. Very nice tourney there for Markey with the neg 5. And Charlotte in the FJ15 and Dolly also came out and put up some handy scores. So was this Ruffy? Was that Doug one? Sorry, give me a sec. I've got some info from Doug. I'll read out. We went through the winners, but he goes, that's too much info. Despite the weather, everyone seemed in great spirits and some good results were posted, which stacked up well on the national leaderboard, which we looked into. Bit of weirdness. He goes, Al Dunn's Ruffy event. Oh, I went through that, how Al takes the loss but gets the gets the Nationals win. Doug mentions that Doug played a clean 36 holes. Only player not to bogey on the day. He doesn't believe it either, so well done, Doug, for the old pat on the back. He goes, congratulations to Charlotte, Markey, Hamish, Janet, Doug, Alistair, Anita and Ruben for their National Aussie Day podiums, and thanks to the Melbourne Disc Golf Club and Janet for helping him TD his first tournament, and thanks to Bespoke for supporting an event. So nice trophies from them that event, and some super good ones for ours. That was my favourite ones they've done of ours, I think.
Yeah, they were great.
How did Stoney check out?
I was just going to add, Reese, our mate Reese Ballarat Circuit, used the virtual event to kind of double down on that, you know, which is the hardest event to win, hardest division to win, and he used like rating cap slash Victor ratings to kind of do the maths, and he mentioned that obviously MPO not having a cap, but David Perry shooting 10.56 makes it hard to look past. MPO is like the hardest division to win, but yeah, he did take great pleasure in pointing out Pat Aldridge's, which will start there at Stoney, 9.12 event, getting it done in MA4 would have made it very hard for everyone else in MA4 to get there. Yeah, 7 strokes back to David Wood, who is absolutely sandbagging there as well, and then an 11 shot gap back to Daniel. So just a shellacking.
And it's what, 8.50 ratings cap for MA4, right? So it's just a cool 72 above event average.
Yeah, exactly. So just a cool 10 strokes, essentially, out of reach for any MA4 player that's under the cap. Yeah, hence why he beat Daniel by 18 strokes. Yep, that'll do it. MA3, what TD curse? Aaron Ponadurai, takes it. Hang on, what have I done here? Why is this not sorted? Place one. What was going on there? What order was that even in? I was in like alphabetical order. I don't know how that happened. All right. Yeah, don't worry. TD curse is strong there. Aaron got smashed, unless I put it in alphabetical order. Glenn Ralston and Carlton Clerk tied up there, -5. Glenn gets the chocolates, but you might remember from the virtual, I'm pretty sure Carlton pipped Glenn, just like the Taron situation.
Yeah, so, wild.
So that shook out twice. MA2, Peter Chu, that feels like a bit of sandbagging as well. He wasn't at, like, he pulled that in the non-invitational and it's encouraged. Pull it here, and I'm asking questions. Is Peter Chu an MA2 player or an MA1 player?
Nah, he's definitely, well, I mean, he's a very good disc golfer, but his rating puts him well in MA2.
All right. I'll allow it. David Gannon just giving up a few strokes there. Bad luck, David. MA50, Mike Vanderlinen, 3 strokes over Simon Farrar. Even though after round one, Simon had the lead, Mike got going in round two with a 9:30 round and, took out the 3-shot victory. Kim Michelle played, Penn played. Now, on Penn, look, first of all, just -11 is the hottest score. I know they tweaked it a little bit, but, like, I can -11 Stoney with my eyes closed in one round. Like, what are we totaling -11 here for 2 rounds? What are we doing? And he's gone just a casual -3 in round two. I don't know. I'm not comfortable with that. I'm not comfortable with -3.
We give him a lot of props for being very good. And we've got to let him know when he's shit.
Yeah, especially because he smashed me on the weekend. So I really just want to let him know.
Sweet.
And that was Stoney.
Nice. Well, yeah, another great. I always loved Aussie Day. I think it's great. So we'll have to keep doing the non-invitational on that day. And I keep saying it wrong. I keep saying non-vintational with an N in there. And that's how I spelt it on the PDJ page. And then Caleb pointed out, he's like, this is why I have not been able to Google, like, find it. He's like, you spelt it wrong. And I was like, well, that's how I meant to spell it. But I'm like, it is wrong. It's just how I thought it was. And I had to quickly check the trophies. Be like, fuck, has he just copied what I've done? And yes, it's a made up word, but, like, at least make it up right.
True. But they what is it on the trophies?
Nah, it's what it should be with no N. So they were just, he was on it better than I was, so that was good.
And there's no end on the PDJ website now.
No, I fixed it. You can fix it. You can fix anything.
Good job. Good job. Non-invitational. Exactly. It's just, again, like, props to us. It's a great name. Like, for those of us that weren't with us for non-invitational one, what happened was, because we'd have new listeners, we can recap this. We dreamt up the idea of having this event that only listeners could come along to and have it as a Throwlers Invitational, only to be corrected by Paul Arden and maybe a few other people at the time to point out that's completely against the rules. You cannot have a PDGA-sanctioned event that's an invitational. That still just surprises me. Like, what if I just wanted to invite a bunch of pros to, like, my house?
Yeah, I don't know.
And you can't be PDGA? No. What the hell?
And there's, like, there's so many shenanigans. I've thought of this rabbit hole. There's so much stuff going down. Like, how is it cool that you can, like, for nationals, they early register certain people?
Yeah.
Like, how is that allowed then? Like, if it's meant to just be open forever. And then how do you just decide arbitrary ratings brackets then?
Ceilings,
They've done that before where it's like, oh, you can register here and there. Like, if you can do that, why can't I invite whoever the fuck I want?
Yeah.
So I think that's, shenanigans. But anyway, that's how it was presented to us, and the name is stuck, and we'll keep going with it. We still just put it out on the pod and advertise here and then don't tell
anyone else. Mostly, of course. Yeah. And hence why we had such great representation at Bald Hill from our listeners, which was awesome. But I also am led to believe that one of the main reasons they, like, have this is for, like, no ratings manipulation. You can't just invite a bunch of 1050 golfers and have, like, a 1050 event or whatever. I'm like, don't talk to us about ratings manipulation.
Who would do that?
We got that shit covered. The invite or no invite, we got you covered.
Oh, that's gone. All right, it's been a minute, but we have a grievance.
Yes.
It is not at all related to the non-invitational.
Oh, that's a shame.
This is anonymous.
Oh, yes.
I got an SD card in the mail, and I was shocked and confused, and I opened up I put this SD card into my computer. I was very worried about viruses and stuff, but it's an old computer. I was like, let's risk it. And there was just one sound file. And I'll play it for you now.
Sublime, Alan. I would like to air a grievance regarding Clem Ronalds. This grievance dates back to July 2023 when I competed in a Bald Hill social day and defeated Clem Ronalds. When I got home and looked at the round, Clem Ronalds' round didn't appear on his metrics rating at all, and I just could not understand this. When I looked deeper into this, I saw that Clem Ronalds had two metrics accounts. How could this be? Does Clem Ronalds subscribe, register to a metrics round using a sock puppet account when he doesn't think he's going to fare that well? I'd like an explanation. I'd also like to remain anonymous. Peace out.
Peace out. So,
I couldn't quite hear a lot of that. So please clarify anything I might have missed.
Well, he wants to know why Clem Ronalds, which I'm assuming is you, has two metrics accounts. Mm. So there's an event in, I think he said 2023, that this person smoked you and went to sort of like look over his fine work and did not see your name, you know, didn't see it on your metrics page, only to discover that you had two. And he wasn't sure if this was some sort of shenanigans where if you thought you were going to play shit, you'd sign up on one metrics account versus the other. A la, like back in the day when I would be playing Call of Duty and I would have two accounts. One of them I'd sign on when I'm playing with my boys and we're going to dominate, and one of them when I just felt like being silly and running around because I didn't want to mess up that kill-death ratio. So what's the go?
No, good question. Good question. And look, 2023 is throwing me with this grievance because it does ring a bell, but it rings a bell like when I came back to Australia for the first time. So, which was forever ago, 8 years ago, like 2017, I reckon I might have accidentally ended up with two metrics accounts, one of which was associated to an email address that a job I had in London that I could no longer access. And I was aware that that metrics account existed, and I was forever like this back then. Like, I don't even know if you could go onto metrics and sign up for an event. You just like had an account, and then like TDs would like find you and add you. And like, I remember Daz like once added me to an event, and he was like, yeah, I got you. And he sent me a screenshot. I'm like, nah, that fucks me. I don't have access to that account anymore. I need you to like not use that one. Look me up again. You'll find another Chris Ronalds. But that's my only memory of it. Okay. Definitely nothing from 2023 is ringing a bell.
Fair enough. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know who this was. You know, we'd have to try to look that up.
Yeah,
see,
I'll have to
see
have to
in
look
2023
up.
Who you beat.
Yeah, yeah. I'd have to try to find it. But there's some truth to it. There definitely was a phantom Chris Ronalds metrics account. But I thought somehow I end up getting them swallowed, like, so they are just the one account now. But maybe there still is this phantom ghost one sitting out there.
Clem Ronalds. But these grievance people giving you different names is pretty funny. Couple of them now. All right. Well, yeah, if anyone has any grievances, please feel free to send them in. And
I've heard there's another anonymous one on the horizon. I've heard rumors.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Sounds good. All right, we're already pretty late, but we'll have a little bit of chat about Green Mountain something, was it?
That's what happened. Yes, it did.
Green Mountain Championships. Yeah. Yep. What went down?
We're just good at everything that we do, Alan. we had a chat around I've forgotten her name, KT,
yep.
Kristen Lutt, stepping away from disc golf. And we were like, Paige Pierce is coming. Like, I have to believe that her demise has to be somewhat consciously attached to Kristen's rise. And sure enough, she didn't fuck around. Bang, back on the winner's board.
First event. First event post-retirement.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll win now.
Yeah, I guess I'll take that mountain back. Someone's just choked it away. Was Missy Gannon winning by a million going into the last round?
Yeah.
Yeah, gave up six strokes to Paige and gave up 8 strokes to On to go into a three-way playoff. Have you watched what happened on hole 18?
No, I haven't seen almost any of this event.
So hole 18's that hole, they play off the hill and then it bends around late to the right. And it's all OB down the left and it's all OB down the right. In the OB on the right, there's a little footbridge and Paige just threw a spike hyzer, deep OB. But it just spiked straight onto this footbridge and skipped like 40 meters.
Get out of here.
Inbounds to birdie the final hole to get into the playoff.
Jesus, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It was just meant to be.
Yeah, she didn't make that same mistake during the final, during the playoff, sorry, and laced the drive and got a tap-in, literal tap-in birdie to take the victory. Well done, Paige. Any familiar names take it out in the MPO?
This up-and-comer with his second win of the year, Paul McBeth. Out of nowhere. No wins last year, and all of a sudden he's got 2 wins on the tour this year. This guy could be all right.
Yeah, and he's not taking down any sort of schlack events either, and he's pips Gannon in both of them.
In a four-round event, that's pretty fucking impressive. You don't beat Gannon Boren, but in four-round events.
Exactly. You know what's killed me all week on the internet? The internet's fucking killed me, and it should be my nightlight, is the amount of references I've seen to, like, what year is it? You know, what year is it? Paul and Paige take it out. What year is it? Hilarious. Would someone mind fucking telling me, what year did this last happen? It's been killing me.
They both won an event.
They won the same event.
Yeah. I don't know. You'd have to look it back a couple of years ago when Paige was winning everything, and that could be your chance.
Like, yeah, maybe.
It definitely wasn't last year. 2020. Nah, she didn't even win. 2022, potentially.
I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of wins in that. She didn't have that many wins. Paige didn't have that many wins now that I'm looking back onto it.
No.
The true. If you're going to put that meme out there, come with some facts. Tell me what year it was.
Just like, yeah, it's been a few, but no one's told me how long and it's killing me.
Yeah.
But yeah, how good. And a couple of like unfamiliar names up high. Paul Kranz, takes out fourth. That's his best event ever. Heard a funny stat on the YouTubes today. Parker Welk takes fifth. Parker Welk, who obviously he is a tour winner, he is not qualified for USDGC, and he took fifth at GMC, and GMC does not count as a qualifier.
No, what?
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So he's got to go play Monday qualifier.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, yeah. So there's always like, who's the best player that's not qualified? That's who people are saying this year. Parker Welk's the best player that's not currently qualified for USDGC.
I didn't see much of it, but one thing I did see late, one of the last holes, and Paul hits like a clutch putt, and Paul was pretty happy, but McBeth was pretty happy. But Paul Kranz was stoked.
Yeah, hole 17, yeah.
He was stoked. He was so excited for McBeth. And I was just like, it was like cute to see.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, you know you played against him, right?
Yeah.
But he was just like, that's Paul McBeth.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
So that was cool. I did like that.
Well, he's 18 years on tour, and these kids are 20. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
It was funny. One of the things I did hear on commentary, because I think it was Paul Kranz, Cole Radalen, Gannon, and Paul McBeth.
Yeah.
And I think Gannon and Paul might have parred. And Gannon and McBeth might have parred, and Kranz and Radalen got birdies or something like that. And it was like, birdies for the young kids.
Aren't
they both older than Gannon?
Yep.
And he had to correct himself. He's like, Gannon's 20.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit. Just because McBeth's 50.
Crazy.
But not cool to see. 2 wins. So, and What's Ricky's? Like, I think Ricky has the equal longest streak with Paul now, right? So Paul and him, like Paul must have gotten a win 1 year before Ricky, Ricky had the win last year. So I think they're on the same yearly streak. So if Ricky doesn't win next week or whatever MVP, then the streak dies, and Paul will be back with a fresh one.
There you go.
So running out of time there for Rick.
Obviously watching Ezra and MVP and Goose some stage today on the YouTubes. I can absolutely see why Jay Brady just like upped and jumped on a plane the other year and just went and watched MVP. Like that place I want to go watch disc golf and play. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks super, super nice. I'd be very, very keen to see that.
Yeah.
All right, we'll have a quick look at the Street League on tomorrow night because it's going to be a bit of fun. So you're not playing. Ooh, Dazza. Ooh, Dazza just put out a course map. Yeah, nice. All right, some shenanigans. Oh, cool. There's some cool holes that we've never played before for sure. All right, very, very excited for that. But the matchups are looking pretty good as well. So we've got DSS versus Leo, which should be a good one. Chris Scott versus Penn, which is always good fun to watch. Narada and Carlton Clerk versus Peter Chu and Picanti. So, these are all tight, I think.
Yeah.
Brett Zeeble, Matt Mutter versus Max Tats and Jace Wiedner.
Oh, that's trouble.
That's got lots of trouble, you know. But I think it's I think that might be the Max two drives one.
Okay.
I think. Oh, no, maybe not because that's triple doubles. That's weird. Yeah, I don't know. If that's not Max two drives, then good luck.
Yeah.
Brett Zeeble is going to murder him. And Josh Smith and Damien Moosey with against Doug Adams and Alex Evans. That could be rough also. But Doug of Bald Hill is no joke.
Yeah, the Bald Hill pest. Mm. We'll see.
And in the other side, my team, Disco Stu. We got no Deros, but Aiden's around. He's up against Mikey Hare. We need the Bald Hill bully to do some bullying.
Yeah, we do.
There's Mikey's up and about, so we'll see.
I don't know if he owns any glow discs, Mikey. I assume that kid's still on the curfew. He'll do well to be there.
Exactly. the newbie Joel Way is stepping up against Oscar. I think that's going to be a cool matchup.
Yep. Again, don't know if Joel owns any glow. Oscar definitely does.
But I wouldn't say Oscar's a Bald Hill specialist, but he's a good disc golfer. And it's a frisbee golf course, so I think he'll be fine.
Oh, this is a spot. I'm loving this matchup. Yeah. This is spicy down the spot.
Alan versus Kalen is big. Very much looking forward to that. I would normally be worried, but it's a Bald Hill. And as I mentioned last week, Kalen does not play very well at Bald Hill as he backed up with his performance in the non-invitational. So I should have him covered pretty comfortably, I think.
Yes.
Jacob Crude and Taron Anderson, always a good doubles partner. Up against James Honeyman, though, who is a Street League killer, and his partner, Zach Schleffel. So that'd be interesting. That's the Max two drives one. So the other ones might not have a limit. And then Timmy Ware and Paul Baker versus Brennan and Alistair Morley. So Timmy's going to want to make up for his horrendous performance on the weekend. So should be good. Should be good fun all around. I'm looking forward to it. Glow Street League.
Yeah, look out.
All right, we've got Dollars Guarantee. We should check in on what we had last week. And your one, you asked for a line for the max round rating.
Yep.
And I said it was so hard to pick. I was like, I think the exact words were, I'll go 940, but like I see it easily being more than 960, but I just didn't feel comfortable putting 960.
Yeah, 1060. Yeah,
1060. Because I was like, that's so dumb if it's wrong. Like, if it's wrong and someone and you play like a 10-40 event and it's just like, or a 10-40 round, then it's like, yeah, what were you thinking? But he smoked it. 1087, way over 1040. So 5 points goes your way as you took the over. That gets you up to 38. And I took Brett Zeeble over Kalen for 7 points. And Brett Zeeble smoked Kalen.
Yeah.
So I'll take that to the bank the whole way. And it's funny, I copped heat for both sides of this.
Yeah, same.
So Kalen was like, how do you take that? How do you pick against me? Sending me like Brett's results and his results and how he never loses to Brett. And Brett was like, you picked me and then ummed and ahed about a seven. So both sides were disappointed. And at the end of the day, Al takes the seven. So I win and that's all that matters. And correct. That puts us both on 38. So we're back to a tie. We did ask for a bit of feedback on this because this is the one thing we weren't really sure if people gave a fuck about.
I turned the radio off.
Yeah. And I did get one. Tommy Jankar was like, I don't care for this part. but we heard a few others that were positive. And all we need is the smallest amount of positive affirmation that's going to keep us going. So,
yeah.
So we're off.
Yeah, this is not a democracy. we will continue going.
We like it. And if you don't actively complain, then too bad. all right, have you got any throwers guarantees?
For this weekend coming?
Yeah.
Yeah, look out. So Ballarat, well, hang on a second. No, I'll keep that up my sleeve. All right, Ballarat, what have I got? We're playing the Yellows. Ash Weidner versus Jay Sweidner.
Yeah, Ash wins. You want a number for that?
Yeah, that's how we play, yeah.
7-3.
7-3. That is a juicy seven, isn't it? That is a juicy seven.
The Jace.
Yeah, well, obviously. just checking. All right. I also see Anita Weber and Emma Winkworth in Div 2. Can I have them head-to-head, please?
Anita. Yeah, 3 or 4. Emma's been playing a bit again. I'll go 4, Anita. 6, Emma.
Wow. Okay. All right. You got anything?
I'm just having a look at Llewellyn. I didn't cast my eyes over Ballarat. I haven't cast my eyes over anything, to be fair, but Llewellyn. Is Diros still shit? Mikey Hare's playing everything now.
Mm-hmm.
Mikey Hare versus the field. What do we got for that? Mikey Hare to be the outright best score.
6 Mikey.
Who we got in there that could be any good?
Everyone.
Oh, a few, yeah, Vils in there as well. It's tough. I guess I'm still sleeping on Mikey because I'm not taking it. I should, but I'm not going to. What have we got? Let's say Josh Quinn versus who's about his rating? Max Tats.
6-6.
All right, I'll take Quinn on the basis that chumps don't perform well twice in a row.
All right, good assumption.
I'll take Quinn over Tats for 6.
Can I have the run it back, Mikey up against Ville?
Okay. Fives.
Yeah, true.
I can't split them.
No. True. As if you could split them. Mm. I'm going to take I'm going to take, oh, I feel five doesn't feel like value for Vil, even though he's the 990 golfer.
Right.
All right.
Michael's playing so good.
All right. Give me, all right, last question. Give me a line. We're playing yellows. I'm playing. Give me a line.
Oh, you're just off for you, for yellows.
Yeah, yeah.
Weather looking all right? I haven't even looked at that.
No, well, it's raining. It's not raining. It's raining for months, apparently, sadly.
We get, yeah, five for showing up. You often show up. I'll say, this is probably light on. 7.5.
All right, so eight's
over, seven's under.
Eights. I'm playing so shit recently. All right, can I eight yellows?
I feel like last time you were there, you like 13'd it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's go. Send it. I'm going for overs.
All right, that's what I thought. Seemed light on, but I don't know. The other way seemed too heavy on if I went 8.5. But
no, 8.5, I'm under all day. Yeah, 8.5, I'm under all day, yeah.
All right.
It's a good line. Overs. You set the right line, yeah.
All right, good deal.
Yeah.
All right, let's finish this up with some spotlight, not light. I've got nothing written down. I don't know why. I feel like I should have stuff written down. There's nothing I can really... Yeah, something will come to me. If you go.
Oh, I've got a couple. So I've mentioned me not light, so I'll just get that off the bat and then I'll go straight into me spotlight. Me not light is 3 under at Stony round 2 for Penn. That's a not light. But my spotlight, and it nearly flew me by until I saw his name again, but my absolute spotlight goes to none other, and you can nearly miss this, Alan, Waino. Waino gets the spotlight.
Oh, of course.
Taking down Noah at bloody Geelong.
Yeah.
No, Noah was going for the bloody...
the trifecta.
And Wayno's like, not on my watch. Dropped us a message saying, nah, not on my watch. He ain't taking down an MA2 victory. And bang, gets it done and plays well above rating 2. Sick. That's actually a sick performance. So that is my absolute spotlight.
Yeah, that's good. Very, very good there.
Yeah.
Spotlights, why can't I think of anything? I don't know. I'll do a not light, and I was going to do more research into this, but then I didn't, so I just won't go as hard as I was going to. But the Oz this day, I think it's great. I'm a big fan of it. I'm a big fan of it from when they started, and I like that they're continuing it now, and I'm not just saying this because I end up winning a division. I had mentioned this earlier. But the prize win in the division is like a mini. And they gave out T-shirts to all the TDs and then just assistant TDs.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Like, I don't know. What are we doing? And I don't know. There might be, I think I said on the weekend that I was like, I'm assuming that the ADG is paying the PDJ fees because they're free. Maybe with a virtual event, it isn't as bad as I thought. They might not be paying for 16 events or whatever it was. But still, I don't know. I don't think they're using their money wisely for Oz Disc Golf Day. Dave Perry shot the best round ever and he's going to get a mini.
What I'm hearing is volunteer harder.
That's but what I'm think hearing. They've got the cash. That's the thing. Yeah. I just don't think they're spending it very wisely. But
not fair enough.
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess my spotlight is how good is Oz this day, and my not light is what are you doing at ADG?
Yeah.
Give me a better price.
Yep.
You got a not light?
Yeah, just Pen.
Oh yeah, we did that. Yeah, yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Sweet. All right, long pod, but we got through.
Well done.
Yeah. Fun week, and thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.